I'm Clemmie Telford and it's time to get open and get honest. Each week, I interview a guest about a topic that we, as a society, often shy away from. From sex lives to salaries, life and death, religion and real bodies, no subject is off the table. Welcome to Honestly, the podcast. To say Megan Lane has been on a journey when it comes to body image feels like an understatement. From living with an eating disorder to now speaking publicly about finding true self-acceptance, it really has been a shift. At one point during the episode, she tells me that she speaks to herself as if she was her best friend. And I'll be honest, I wanted to scoff at that response, which certainly says more about me than it does about her, and is also testament to the significance of the work Megan does in helping others find their true inner confidence and why she was the perfect candidate to join me in talking honestly about self-acceptance. So the name of the game is Honesty.
Yeah.
And I like to start with a quick fire round to get us both in the mood.
Okay.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, how fun are you?
10.
Straight off.
Yeah, I'm well fun.
Are you?
Yes.
Absolutely confident in that.
Absolutely. 1000% I am well fun.
Good for you. On a scale of 1 to 10, how popular are you?
Popular? Oh, this is quick fire, isn't it?
And as you like.
Oh, 7.
what was going through your head as you self-edited then?
I don't know, like, I don't think I was like popular at like school or like had that many friends and stuff.
Thing is, whenever you speak to someone, no one felt like they were the popular person at school. On a scale of 1 to 10, how rebellious are you?
Oh, 8. I'm pretty rebellious.
Are you?
Yeah, I don't like being told what to do.
Don't you?
No. And if I get told what to do, it makes me get the hump. And then I'm like, right, well, I'm going to do the opposite then. I did that all through school, in relationships, all sorts.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What is your favourite colour?
Green.
Confident green.
Yeah.
And do you want to, like, give me an idea of shade? Or are you like all greens?
Like a forest green.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I like it. I've always liked it.
It's quite interesting. Most prized possession?
Esme. Do I possess her? Really?
We can do for now until she can tell you otherwise. How would you describe your relationship with money?
Better than it was. Wow, what an interesting question. I used to be terrible with my relationship with money, and I was so in debt. And
just spent it before you'd even got it?
Yeah, but never really made enough, and I didn't know my worth, and I didn't understand. I just thought it was dirty and evil and wrong and bad. And then I looked into it and was like, how come, you know, I never have any money, and how come I'm going more and more into debt? Mm. And then I looked into it and I was like, wow, money is literally just energy. There is nothing bad or good or anything about it. It's just neutral. So I started to like rebuild my beliefs around it. Instead of trying to make more, I just focused on my beliefs around money and my relationship with it. And now I'm making way more. And I'm not ashamed to talk about it either. No. So I can tell that my relationship... There's still a little bit of ickiness there.
Yeah.
Because I feel like other people's judgments when you talk about money, they can be like, ew, like, that's gross or whatever.
Yeah, because...
And I still feel funny, like, you know, I bought myself my first ever Prada handbag, my first ever designer handbag not long ago, and I've never, ever bought anything designer in my life.
How did that feel?
It felt amazing. Like, I went with, like, some of my closest, least judgmental friends, and we had such a good time, and they were so happy for me, and I was so happy for myself, and it was just a good moment, because I was like, look what I just did, like, I was proud of myself, but I'm still wary of people seeing it and judging me for it.
Yeah. It's so interesting. I'm kind of doing a lot of work myself on trying to unpick my relationship with money. And of all the topics I post about on Instagram, and I, you know, do some weighty subjects, money is the one that triggers people the most. What star sign are you?
Aries.
Are you?
Yeah, what are you?
I'm a Pisces.
Nice. I get on with Pisces.
Do you?
Yeah.
It's a struggle. It's post-Pisces season. Deeply emotional. Bless and it was full moon last night. So.
Oh, sweetheart.
We're all right. 3 words your inner critic or imagined worst enemy would use to describe you.
Oh.
Sorry, it's not a very nice question.
Wow. So if someone was being really mean about me,
what the voices in your head say about you?
The voices in my head say, still say you're not good enough. Still get that one. Don't we all?
Mm.
You're not a good mum.
Really?
Yeah, sometimes, like, especially with, like, breaking up with my ex and, like, now being a single mum and having to split time with him, that's a huge one for me because I want to be with her all the time and I can't be, and I just...
So it's counterintuitive.
Yeah, it's a balancing act of trying to be the best mum possible, but, you know, also allow her dad to be the best dad possible that he can be. So that's definitely a thing that comes up.
Motherhood ultimately is a series of massive sacrifices in a positive way. So you have to put her needs over yours, don't
you? Absolutely, 1,000%. And the other one is... Do you know, I've squashed so many.
That's really good.
I'm struggling to find a third.
That's good.
Maybe I still kind of sometimes believe that I'm bad at finishing things.
Are you?
So, yeah.
Is that an Aryan trait, though? Because yes. My husband is an Aries, and I call him half a job Bob.
Yeah, because you get excited about things, and then the excitement wears off, and then you really struggle to like round it off.
And I just can't comprehend it, because I'm literally like, if you spent another 10 minutes, it'd be done.
I know. Yeah, there's certain things that I am, you know, I'm working on some stuff at the moment that I know I have to complete, but I'm fighting those demons.
Yeah, there's just a point where you go, my mind's moved on.
Yeah.
So interesting. So I've got you here. I've written on my notes, we've never met before, but actually we have now met before.
We met
at a lovely afternoon tea. We did have Anna Fletcher.
We did.
I have followed you for a while and feel a lot of parallels with our journeys, with trying to reconcile our relationship with our body and our mind, and it turns out with money and with anything else, all of this stuff all of the time.
Yeah.
But we're here to talk about self-acceptance. So how do you feel about yourself now, today, both in terms of your body and your relationship with it and your place in the world?
Do you know, I think I'm pretty fucking great. And that has taken me years to get to that point. And I say that with pride and with happiness and with no ounce of shame.
Don't you? You can, like, there's no part of you that goes, as you...
No. Because why should I? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm here once. I have spent the majority of my life beating myself up, bullying myself, sticking my head down the toilet, making myself sick, like starving myself, wrapped up in diet culture, crying in bed, not believing in myself, not chasing my dreams, being in debt, all those things. Mm. And there is not for one minute a chance I'm ever going to go back to that lifestyle and waste my life.
You did an amazing IGTV about your eating disorder.
God, that was hard to post, though.
Yeah. How soon before it did you record it? Had you been sitting on your phone, or did you record it and put it up quite quickly?
No, I have to do things. If I let things linger,
the moment's
they
gone.
Don't go. The moment's gone. And every single post that I do that's like, air quotes, inspiring or whatever, it comes from me in that moment and it gets posted in that moment. There's been times where I've saved it and then reread over the caption and I'm like, oh, hang on a minute, I don't feel this right now.
No.
And then I struggled to post it. So with that one, I sat and I recorded it. The first time I recorded it, I cried so much that I couldn't post it because I hadn't spoken about it for years. And there was things I was talking about, especially like my parents and feeling like I didn't have support and all those things that is still a wound.
Yeah.
And for me to go and open that up, but be on camera, I just couldn't. I was literally like, it was like all this kind of just pain just came up and just was crying and crying. And I was like, I'm going to have to re-record this because this is not about me sitting on Instagram and blubbering to everyone. This is like, I'm going to help people. So I did have to do it, a couple of times to gather myself. But
so for people who may not have seen that, you struggled with an eating disorder from what age?
I'd say it started when I was about 12, 13.
Really? So young.
Yeah, I was so young. But, you know, it started as kind of not a joke,
but like a game
or something. I was trying it out. Other girls were doing it. I was in an all-girls school. Everybody started talking about diets so young and being thin so young. And I hadn't even hit puberty yet. You know, I'd just got my period. And all of a sudden, and to be honest, I've been questioning myself, my weight, my body since I was six, because a young girl at the swimming baths when I was younger, my mum dropped my towel and a young girl pointed at me and said, ew, look at your belly, you're fat, or something like along those lines. And I had never even had the self-awareness of my body at that point. And all of a sudden, I just thought something's wrong with me. And that never went away. I remember growing up and being on the beach in Wales on family holidays and like hiding myself in a towel and wearing a swimming costume and not a bikini. And I was a child, you know, and that goes back so far that I don't remember a time in my life where I felt confident in myself ever. Since being a baby, basically.
Six. I mean, it's like no age. What about your mum? Did she have a good relationship with her body?
No. And I think that's probably a lot of where my issues came from. Although I have to say, you know, my sisters had the same mum and they didn't have issues with their bodies.
So it's not a definite.
So it's not like, oh, my, it's my mum's fault. But no. My mum and I are very, very similar. Like, we clashed a lot growing up because she saw herself in me a lot. And I think that she was quite reckless with herself. She had anorexia when she was younger. And growing up, I only ever saw her look in the mirror and call herself names. Mm. She was beautiful. And I mean, like, my mum is just the supermodel. She's amazing. And I looked at her and just thought she was the best thing in the world. And if she was looking in the mirror and calling herself all these names, then what must that mean? Mm. You know, it's hard to comprehend when you're a kid. And, you know, she was constantly talking about how her jeans were too small or her jeans were too big or this, that and the other. And she was on Slimming World, and I joined Slimming World when I was, like, literally 13. Mm. They let me join, weighed me.
I went to Slimming World or a diet club at that age too. It's so just bad. Insane. And your body's changing because you're going through puberty.
Yeah, you're growing, so you're gain weight.
Yeah, because you're going to gain weight is inevitable.
Honestly, at that time, diet culture was so rife and people were so clueless and so oblivious to it that it was children going to diet clubs and nobody said a thing.
I know.
It was completely normal for a 13-year-old to want to lose weight.
And I don't think my parents were kind of doing that in a abusive way. They had my good intentions at heart, but it was like, to say it out loud, the thought of any of my children doing that in a few years is like to stand on a scales and be judged.
Never.
So bad.
And it's, you know, times have changed again. Diet culture is still rife, but, you know, there's always going to be these body trends that mess with people. Like, surgery is huge now because the new body trends are coming in, and where it's not about being like Kate Moss, it's about being like Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
And nobody can keep up because it's like this constant chase for, well, what's in trend now? How do I need to look now to be approved of and told that I'm sexy and told that my body's right? And it's just this never-ending chase for kind of moulding ourselves into a shape that's impossible.
I'm sure we're both going to sit here and feel kind of fortunate that we have got to a place where you can ladder back a bit and stand back and go, I can see that there's a trend for this body shape. And, you know, I'm, even if I work out all the time, I'm never going to get a big butt and a tiny waist.
Yeah.
And that's all right.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that. Make peace with that. Yeah.
So, what was the tipping point for you when you decided you needed to get help and work towards self-acceptance?
There's like a couple of moments in my life that's really stand out to me. There was a moment when I was on holiday with my sister and my mum, and we were in the pool, and I was in a mess. I was quite young. I'd say I was 20, maybe. My sister just basically said to me, like, look, I think a lot of your issues here are coming from the fact that you look nothing like you do on Instagram. And I was like, you're right, because I edited my photos so much.
You?
Yeah, this is before I had any followers or anything.
This
I was
just for yourself, almost.
Kind of, but I used to like pay to get this guy to like promote me on his like hot babes page on Instagram and like try to get more followers. I was so desperate for validation. It was honestly, it was painful. And my sister said that to me, and I deleted my Instagram that night, or deactivated it, or deleted all my selfies or whatever. And I just thought, God, I need to make a change. Like, there is a version of me that I'm putting out online that I can't even recognize. I don't look like
that.
Were
you still in the depth of your eating disorder?
Yeah, because my eating disorder went on for like 10 years, you know, and I was kind of just constantly going through this like binge and starve and binge and starve cycle. And I was on this holiday feeling really insecure in my body in a bikini, didn't want to be seen, and I was just miserable. And I was trying not to go and throw up after every dinner that I ate on holiday. And I was with my sister and my mum, who were watching me and knew about, do you know what I mean? So it's like all eyes were on me, and there was just, I was so torn inside. That was a real defining moment, because I knew at that point I had the self-awareness to go, do you know what, this is not healthy.
Enough is enough.
And then there was a few times, like when I was in Australia, and another time when I came home and moved to London, that I found myself kind of on the bathroom floor after, you know, a big binge and purge kind of session or whatever for the day. Mm. And just in bits, to be honest, just felt so desperate and almost kind of suicidal, because I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't feel in control of my own body, and I'm slowly killing myself. And I remember praying. I didn't ever believe in a God before. I do now, not in a religious sense, more in a spiritual sense of like the universe or whatever, but like I prayed because I didn't know who else to turn to but some other higher power that could maybe help me. I started reading books, and I started blogging about my experiences and sharing it online, and it kind of went, at the time, what you would call viral. I started blogging about my eating disorder, and I deleted all my selfies, and I showed people, like, look, this is what I used to do to my photos. Nobody was doing that then. Nobody had spoken about Facetune.
And who knew that actually, after all those years of kind of wanting to be recognised for a version of you, as you became your more authentic self,
yeah,
that's when the traction came.
Because the validation changes, because there's only so many times that you can post a really over-edited selfie that doesn't look like you and be told by 800 people that you're beautiful before it starts to feel a bit numb. And actually, when someone says, oh my God, what you just posted has changed my life or has really helped me, I mean, it's its own type of validation, but it's more like I have a purpose in the world, and I'm not just perpetuating a problem that I'm also struggling with.
I do a similar thing online. It becomes your own therapy, and it becomes, you have to be accountable, don't you? You're like, I can't be preaching that I'm trying to work on myself and then not be working on myself. I've got to try and be kinder to myself.
Absolutely. It holds you accountable.
Would you describe yourself as body positive now? Is that a step too far?
I think body positive, as in I believe all bodies are good bodies, but I do think it's important to distinguish between body positivity and body confidence, because body positivity isn't for me. I'm a white, you know, thin, able-bodied, privileged woman. Yeah. You know, it's a movement that was rooted in social injustice. It's not for me. So for me, body confidence is about feeling confident in your own skin. And that's kind of the movement that I discovered when I got pregnant and my body started to change, and I just wanted to really embrace it and spread that message. And then after I had Esme, my body looked completely different, and I really wanted women to understand that there was, you could be happy and not have to feel like you need to, air quotes, snap back.
Yeah.
I hate that narrative. I hate that diet culture's done that to us. And I hate that it takes away from our happiness of becoming a new mother, because we're so preoccupied with our bodies. I think it's just awful. Yeah. Funnily enough, the most confident I've ever felt was after I had a baby and I was in, you know, three sizes bigger than my normal size. And I just don't know what it was at that time. I just felt so empowered. I think more recently, I've struggled with it, and I think it comes and goes like that, and I think you just become more resilient over time. You learn how to love yourself, you learn how to accept yourself, and you have wobbles. I think becoming single triggered it for me.
Of course, yeah.
Massively. Because, you know, I was with a partner who loved me for me, and that gave me a lot of security to be body confident. And I think that's just another part of my chapter, and it's just another layer of depth to get to on the body confidence journey.
Yeah, and as you say, like, no, I am in a good place in my body generally, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't once in a while get really tripped up when you're like, oh right, I'm, you know, oh, I think I'll start a diet on Monday, like, oh my God, no, I don't, that isn't what I do anymore. But it's drummed into us forever, hasn't it? So it's, and I always say that for me, as soon as I start being self-critical of my body, I know that that is actually means that I'm overwhelmed or I'm stressed, and it's like seeing, I think people don't tie the two together enough.
No, it's so true. We kind of project any stress we've got on our bodies and how we look. I know I do it when I'm, I know that our bodies change when we're due on our periods and stuff. I get it really badly. That's when I'm probably the worst time. But I think that it's the feeling, the hormones that I get, the kind of increased anxiety, the increased stress, and I blame it all on my body. And I'm like, I just feel awful in myself. My clothes don't fit. I feel terrible. And I think that we just project that mood, and the first thing that we can kind of have a go at is our bodies.
And then, lo and behold, like 2 weeks later when you're ovulating, you're like,
wow, I feel like I look incredible.
I am acing it. Everything
my
was good.
My jeans like falling down. I don't know what's happened. What the hell's going on? And it's, again, it's all diet culture. Yeah. And it's just important that, you know what, we're human. We feel those things. You recognise it and you go, that's diet culture. And I think the more you point it out and you move on.
Yeah, and check yourself on it.
Yeah.
But it's extraordinary. And it's hard to sit with that roller coaster. You're like, wow, I am literally changing my tune.
Yeah.
Like the wind. So to prepare for this podcast, I always ask the good people of Instagram about a given subject. So I'm going to tell you some of their answers.
Okay.
I asked them if they believed self-acceptance was possible. Mm-hmm. And only 69% said it was.
Wow, that's sad, man.
Shouldn't we all be thinking it?
Self-acceptance is just such an important... It's such an important part of happiness and peace. I think acceptance for me, like, I've been doing a lot of work around inner peace at the moment, and I really, with my main goal in life was just to feel peaceful after many years of like panic attacks and feeling anxious. And I learned that peace comes from acceptance, because if you're not accepting something, you're resisting it, and you're causing friction, and you're causing a pushback, and that pushback will never, ever, ever allow you to feel completely happy and content.
So true, isn't it? And especially when you're fighting against stuff that you can't change.
Absolutely.
It's like you're on a road to nowhere, aren't you?
Absolutely, yeah. It's actually exhausting. Yeah.
I asked people what stands in the way of self-acceptance, and they said comparison.
Yeah.
Fear of other people's judgment.
Yep.
Childhood trauma.
Yep.
Fear. And then my weight and my body. And it's, again, this language of my weight. Your weight isn't a thing that is, like, round your neck, is it? It's just...
No. But the main word is fear, isn't it, really? The whole thing is based on fear. Fear of not being good enough. Fear of what other people will think. Fear of what someone said to us when we were younger. Fear of what happened when we were younger repeating itself. And it really is about stepping away from fear and into love. And that is... The absolute key to all of it is just fear-based living is never gonna equal
happiness. Yeah, which is why coronavirus is triggering for so many people.
Yeah.
What are your tools for self-acceptance? I'm going to ask you yours in a minute. Mm-hmm. People said saying no, meditation, exercise, craft, which I thought was really nice. But again, it's the same thing of being out of your mind and into your body, isn't it? Podcasts. Mm-hmm. Good one. Therapy and following good people on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
What are your tools for self-acceptance?
I mean, meditation's massive for me. If you've got 10 minutes to scroll Instagram during the day, you've got 10 minutes to meditate.
So
or five.
Does it matter? I always think, God, if you haven't done it first thing, then you missed the moment.
No, you can do it any time of day. I do mine in the morning.
Do you?
Yeah, always, because I find that's the time when my head's the most empty and I have the most enjoyable meditations. But you can do it anywhere, anytime. I tend not to do it in the evenings, in the daytime.
Yeah, just because you're kind of done then.
I'm kind of, I'm busy and I'm running around. So I do it, you know, to wake up 10 minutes earlier, I just listen to, there's a playlist on Spotify called Peaceful Meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And it has the nicest songs on it. I put that on in my earphones and I sit first thing in the morning, I get my coffee. I go in the lounge and I sit down and I close my eyes and I just say thank you. Over and over again. It's like a mantra. Just thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I think sometimes when you sit down and meditate, you can feel like your mind's just running wild about what you're going to do that day. And I think when I do the thank yous, it brings me right back into the moment and it just gives me something to focus on.
And it's uncomplicated.
It's uncomplicated and it fills me with so much gratitude because I can think about the things I'm grateful for. I can just say the word thank you on its own over and over again, which carries the most amazing energy anyway because gratitude is just the most incredible emotion. And I start my day off feeling grateful and I smile up at the sky and just say thank you, I'm alive. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's my favourite way to start the day. That for me is like my number one self-care.
Really? I asked Instagram if they would describe themselves as body positive and only 33% said they would.
Right.
Body neutral is where I'm aiming for.
Yeah.
If yes, is it something you've had to work at? And 88% yes.
You know, the odds are against us at the end of the day. It's not like it's easy. If we were surrounded by marketing and messaging that was about how enough we are, we wouldn't have to work at it.
It'd be easy breezy.
It would be ingrained in our subconscious minds. We would literally be conditioned to love ourselves. And we're not. We're conditioned to hate ourselves. So we have to fight back with every ounce of our self-awareness to go, I do love myself, I am worthy, the messages that I get bombarded at me every day aren't true. And we've got to fight back.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's a constant struggle.
It really is effort. I hope it'll be different for our daughters.
Me too.
I've asked them what helped them be more body positive and they said realising that nobody really cares what you look like. And it's true. If you're on a beach, everyone's just thinking about their own body, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that people do make these throwaway mean comments, but they're not really invested in how other people look. It's not something that they are genuinely concerned with. We are all far more concerned with how we look.
Yeah, than other people. Yeah, yeah. Definitely true. Having a baby, and we both can relate to that, it definitely shifts something. For me, it was just that realisation that I needed to sort my own relationship with my body out in order not to pass it on to my children.
1,000%.
Yeah.
So important.
Yeah, and also, it is a cliche, but it is extraordinary that your body can grow a baby.
Amazing.
Isn't
like, I've
it?
Never felt more proud of myself.
I know. It's, and, yeah, boys can't do that.
Nope.
You know, if only you could bottle that feeling when they see you get a baby out of you. It's less like,
I know. Maybe we could bottle the pain and give it to them.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? It's absolutely mad.
Insane.
Instagram, and, you know, social media gets a lot of flack, but for me, it is a therapy, and especially around seeing normal bodies or everybody's bodies.
1,000%. I think that the movement that's happened on social media has just been... It's so funny because social media used to drive me further into my eating disorder and now it drives me further out of it. And it's just so funny how it's given people a voice that wouldn't normally have had a voice. it's given people who aren't as privileged a platform to show themselves and to just show everybody how much diversity and beauty there is in our differences.
Yeah.
And it's just brilliant. It's just, I love it. Like, if you follow the right people on Instagram, it can be a place where you go to save yourself.
Yeah, to feel great.
There are people on there who, you know, have messaged me since I did the eating disorder post that I've, like, I've not made myself sick for X amount of weeks. I can't believe it. Like, I can't believe I'm finally healing. I've got help. I did this. And I'm like, yes, this is what this platform is for. Yeah. It's for connection. It's for service. It's for caring about other people. Yeah. It's for compassion and community. Yeah. And if you use it the right way, it is powerful.
And the last one is discovering that exercise is for your mind and not your body. And that has been a game changer for me. And
massive. Yeah. It's just
exercise
huge.
Is amazing if it's not punishment.
I know. And, you know, for years and years and years, I had no idea that you could exercise and not associate it with weight loss.
Yeah.
I just had no, I didn't even think that that was a possibility. No. And then when I learned that, I could go to the gym and work out and move my body and do things other than just run on a treadmill for an hour and feel so good. And then also, you know, not pooping anyone that, like, wants to, you know, look good aesthetically, but to really focus on my strength instead of my aesthetics was just so empowering and just enlightening. And I was just like, yes. And I've, since I discovered going to the gym for my mental health and for my strength, my physical strength, rather than my appearance, I have never stopped going.
No, you never have to persuade yourself to
go. Like, never.
I arranged my whole week to be able to go because it's absolute joy.
Literally. But the times when I was doing it for weight loss, I was dipping in and out.
Like,
I was dipping in and out. Yeah, I would go to the gym and then I would hammer it for 2 weeks and I wouldn't go for a month and I would feel bad. And it was just this, always about weight loss, always this constant cycle of, like, hating myself.
In a few weeks' time, I'll be this size. I've burnt this many calories. It's just like, it really can be the most amazing thing. Those exercise people were onto something all along. Just took some of us a long time to get there. And then I asked people what they like most about their body.
Uh-huh.
They said my womb, good one.
Yeah.
I love my hair, which again, people don't get to say that very often.
No.
My butt.
Yeah.
All of it, because it allows me to live. And then someone said, I can't think of anything, I'm afraid. And that's like,
not one single thing.
What do you like best about your bod?
What do I like best about my bod? I like the shape of my waist.
Do you?
Yeah, I like it. And I quite like my legs.
It's good.
Yeah.
I've got some more things. I asked them what self-acceptance, well, how they would describe self-acceptance. And I love these. And that is ignoring the world's opinion of you, giving myself the graciousness I give others, which is exactly what you talked about.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think when you have kids, it's really easy to unlock that and go, right, how do I speak to them? This is how I should speak to myself. Freedom, peace, being truly comfortable, being happy in myself and my body, accepting the good and the bad and not comparing yourself against others, not caring what others think.
Yeah.
And it's mad. Those things should feel like they are such on a pedestal, you know, fairly unachievable, but they shouldn't be, should they?
No, absolutely not. I feel like self-acceptance is also the only way we're ever really going to discover our purpose, because unless you are standing in your power and believing that you're worthy and knowing that you are good enough, how are you ever not going to be distracted by that? Do you know what I mean? Like, that it's the ultimate distraction. Diet culture for me and everything else was the ultimate distraction away from what I'm doing now.
Mm.
And it's by accepting myself that I found my
peace
purpose.
And space. I think it's also important to try and acknowledge our, like, self-sabotage triggers. Do you know things that tend to trip you back up into old habits?
Yep. Instagram.
Yeah.
I think social media for me, when I'm doing an important project, I'll self-sabotage by going on social media and getting lost in the vortex of scrolling.
And not finishing your project.
And not finished. That is my self-sabotage all over. It's almost like a procrastination type thing, which I'm better at now. Again, I'm just learning. And, you know, every now and again, very rarely, I'll go out and get very drunk. And that for me throws me off life for a good week and I don't get anything done. I don't feel peaceful or happy or calm, or I just feel like every single time I drink and I go a bit too hard and end up with a bad hangover, I've self-sabotaged.
Well, talking to someone who doesn't, I don't drink anymore for all these reasons.
I think I'm going to give up. I mean, I'm talking like once every 2 months, but still.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. So I gave up drinking because I couldn't deal with the self-loathing the next day.
Yeah.
And I just thought, this is not a cycle that I can hack putting myself in that place anymore.
No.
And then I just did it to see.
Mm-hmm.
And the impact on my mental health is, like, extraordinary, because you just don't have those big backward steps.
No, there's no, like, plummet downwards.
No, there's no,
like, and that's
when,
what it feels like.
And then you don't sleep well, you don't eat well, I don't exercise well.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, if you do that even once every month, that is still... You're tripping yourself up, aren't you?
Every month you're tripping yourself back up, and you go. And I think the worst thing for me is the feelings of regret.
Yeah,
because they actually are a really heavy emotion to carry. Like, I got that cold last week because I gone out.
Yeah.
So actually, I went out, and the next day I had a sore throat, and the next day I woke up with a cold, and then I spent the entire week feeling like an anxious mess.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what have I done?
It's not worth it.
No.
Yeah, look, getting drunk is really fun, but for me, the payoff wasn't worth it anymore.
Yeah.
Give it a go, see how you go.
I feel that, I'm going to do it.
And then actually it kind of does link. I think we talk about self-acceptance with our bodies, but I've gone on a long journey for self-acceptance with my mind, so I struggle a lot with anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, rather than spend my life trying to fight that, I now know, right, I do suffer with anxiety, so I need to not drink, actually.
Yeah, absolutely, and make those decisions to take care of yourself. Because some of us are, we're just more susceptible to it. It's in our nature, it's in our character, it's in our star sign. And doing whatever you can do to protect yourself is so important.
You know, I do look at some of my friends who are more laid back and who don't struggle with these things, and yeah, it's easy to feel envious, but you can't change the way your mind works.
No, you can't. Like, my ex-boyfriend had no idea what anxiety was.
Oh, no.
And when I had a panic attack, he had no idea what was going on. I think he just thought I was being a drama queen, to be honest. And it actually drove me a bit insane, because it made me really invalidate my emotions.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes you just have to accept some people don't know what it feels like to have anxiety, and it's like trying to explain what mango tastes like to someone who's never tried mango.
No.
It's impossible to try and convey exactly how it feels. So there's no point. You just have to accept that some of us are like this, and some people just will never have anxiety, never feel it. It's a whole spectrum of emotion, and I think as soon as you stop kind of demonising certain emotions and the heavy ones that actually teach us the most about life and are actually a really important part of our path and our journeys to discovering ourselves. If I had never had anxiety or panic attacks, I wouldn't be sat here right now doing this. I just wouldn't.
So, kind of going towards conclusion, talk to me about 80-year-old Megan. How will you know that you're in a great place of self-acceptance, and what does that look like?
At 80 years old,
yeah.
I think just looking back on my life and knowing that I fucking gave it my all and I loved myself with every single piece of my heart, and like, I do that a lot, you know. When I'm going through a hard time or I'm questioning myself, I do imagine myself as an 80-year-old woman on my deathbed, and it really puts things in perspective for me, because I go, hang on a minute, what advice would I give to myself now? If I could go back in time and go, you know, to the 28-year-old Megan, what advice would I give her? It would be, believe in yourself, love yourself, go for it, go for your dreams, go for your goals, and you've got one life. Don't wait around.
Have a crack at it.
Have a fucking crack.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I would do, 1,000% looking back 80 years old, if I could look back and go, I gave it my best shot, and I loved with all my heart, and I was a good person, and I did my best, I'd die happy.
The 80-year-old Megan, where is she? What's she doing?
She's just chilling on a porch in a rocking chair.
Saying we've all been fed some kind of Hollywood movie, because no one has those porches, not in the UK anyway.
No, I was thinking like the one in The Notebook, you know. It's like the one that wraps around the whole house looks out on the lake.
Somewhere warm.
Yeah, probably somewhere warm. If my hubby's still alive, with loads of kids, loads of grandkids, a load of money, because obviously I earned loads of money and then invested it wisely, and then I ended up giving myself a really nice retirement. Just feeling like I fucking served my purpose in the world.
Got your crystals, got your candles.
Oh, surrounded by crystals, and probably loads of dogs.
Yeah. It's going to happen. So, as we wind up towards the end, where are you? Where can people find you? Is there anything you want to shout about?
Yeah, I'm Megan. I'm on social media. I'm on Instagram mainly as Megan_Rose_Lane. And what do I want to shout about? I just want every single woman in the world to believe in themselves and understand how fucking beautiful and capable and wonderful and awesome they are, and stop holding themselves back.
It's very, very motivational. If you could have an honest conversation with anyone, who would it be?
An honest conversation with anyone. Do you know who I'd love to sit down and have an honest conversation with?
Who?
the Kardashians.
Oh, right. Yeah. So what's going on, girls?
I just think, just to try and...
understand it.
Just to try and get across to them that they have such a powerful influence.
It's damaging.
And the diet culture stuff that they promote so much. Just kind of, I don't know, I'd love to chat to them about that. Not in a judgmental way, in like a more like a...
yeah, mate's way.
In a mate's way, yeah.
But do you just think that they are so removed from their brand that it doesn't feel like them?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if when people that are as famous as that have received so much hate and judgment and trolling that actually they become numb.
Yeah.
And they have no choice but to switch off, which I understand because I've, you know, been... I've been trolled and I understand that. There comes a point where you go, do you know what? I actually don't have the brain space for your opinion anymore. And you do switch off from it. Like now, when I read, even when I read nasty comments and stuff, I kind of have this numbness where I'm like,
all right,
you literally don't, I'm not going to let you in.
No.
And I guess, I think that's probably what they have to do, build an armour around themselves, which is very understandable.
I imagine they've got such a big team that they're very, very removed from it now, aren't
they? I reckon. Yeah, but I just wish that somebody... that was that powerful, who had the opportunity to completely change the world and the way women see themselves, could be in their position. And if it could be one of them that just turned around tomorrow and went, hang on a minute, all this diet culture shit, it's bullshit, whatever else.
Here's my body, how it actually looks.
Yeah, and like beyond, I don't know, just a bit more honesty, a bit more vulnerability and a bit less hiding behind like a facade. I just think that would be so powerful. So,
yeah, that's a very good answer.
Yeah, go straight to the top where all the power is.
Yeah,
and go.
Why not? Dream big. And then I always ask my audience to complete the sentence, I'll be honest, I'm going to read out theirs and then I'm going to do one and then I'm going to ask you to do one.
Okay.
So, I'll be honest, I pick my nose and eat it a lot. Don't like Kylie Minogue. Only became vegan because I hoped it would make me thinner. Sometimes worry I married the wrong person.
Oh, wow.
Hated 4 weddings and a funeral. I mean, I'm trying to remain unjudgmental here, but that is ludicrous. Tell my friends they look good when they don't. Have absolutely no idea what I'm doing. And I've got quite a serious one from me.
Okay.
I'll be honest, I sometimes kid myself that I don't have mental health issues, and as soon as you do that, they always come back and bite you in the other. Oh, and here it is. There you go.
It's like me the other day.
You're like, fine, I'm over it.
Oh, goodness.
So yours,
me.
I'll be honest, I
sometimes pee in the bath.
Do you? Yeah. I'm looking shocked. So in the first, I sometimes do as well, just to level with you. In the first series of the podcast, I asked people if they peed in swimming pools.
Yeah.
Because I've had an argument with Ben. I was like, everybody pees in swimming pools. He's like, nobody pees in swimming pools.
Yeah.
But lots of people pee in swimming pools.
I've never peed in a swimming pool. That's a lie. I went away to Amsterdam the other week and I peed in the pool for the first time ever. I was so worried it was going
to
go. My mum told me that there's dye in the pool. That's why I've never done it.
Was it a posh pool?
No. Well, it was just in a hotel, so it wasn't particularly posh, no.
And how was the experience? Did you feel liberated?
The water went slightly yellow. And there was a guy swimming near me and I felt really bad because he came unexpectedly near me.
I was like, shit. He's swimming in my piss.
Yeah, but I pee in the bath, like, when I'm going to get out.
Yeah, so you don't hang around in it.
No, I don't hang around in it.
And also, I bath with my kids and they piss in there all the time.
Has my poos in the bath?
Yeah, all the time.
I scoop it out afterwards. Yeah,
that's a low moment of parenting, isn't it? You're like, oh, you've done a poo. Well, on that bombshell, I've been Clemmie Talbot and this wonderful woman has been Megan Lane and this has been Honestly Podcast. Thank you for listening. Please do rate, review and subscribe and tell your mates all about it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's been an honour. Thank you so much for listening, guys.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Honestly. If you found this week's episode interesting, which I hope you did, I'd love to know your thoughts. So please do give me a rating or review, and even better, hit the subscribe button. That way you'll get each week's episode delivered straight to you.